Blog Talk Radio.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Clan used to rally downtown in my city, and you wonder why the race relationship's so shitty? Show no pity, that's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city, it's all over the TV. Martin Luther King, I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent the hit, but the timing sure make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame, and never take no wooden nickels when they all change.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free.
I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see
the big picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the tech nine and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches, but why you in the club with them trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick, but it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Breeze told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stunt.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.
All right, welcome to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is the Big Picture with Melvin Siri Jr. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Peace, power, and love, family. Give a shout out to my homeboy, Throwboy Mike, for the theme song. I've shouted him out more than once, but can't never shout out talent enough. So just wanted to give my boy another plug, like a little brother to me. Grew up around his family, my family around his family around mine, and they have all... The whole family is musically inclined. I just, honestly, everybody in their family plays an instrument. But shout out once again to Throwboy Mike and the theme song. Also, tonight, I would like to welcome my new listening audience at activatemedia.org, Activate Radio out of Boston, Massachusetts. This show will now be broadcast on their platform on Friday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So that is something that I'm looking forward to, and I just want to welcome the Activate Radio listening family as well to the Big Picture. Tonight, I will be having my brother as a guest on the show, my comrade who pulled me into the fold. And I'm going to be talking about tonight's subject is going to be about activism and why we all should get involved in the movement, why it's beneficial to all people. And then let's just talk about it, and then I got a couple of other current events that I'll discuss before I get into to the meat and potatoes of the activism. And also, before I go on, I want to thank Patrick Wilson also for reaching out to me and giving me the opportunity to expand my platform. I want to thank that brother for that opportunity, for the opportunity as well. I honestly just do what I do for the love of the people. I just have a passion to see us doing better than we're doing at this particular juncture. And I don't do it for money. I don't do it for fame. Like I say, I do it for the love of the people and to try to bring about change, because that's really, at the end of the day, what it's all about, you know, changing the condition. And we all know that for some the condition is okay, but for others the condition is traumatic. I wanted to share something. I meant to actually share it last week. Course of last week's show, we kind of got into a real deep conversation. It was a good flow, good conversation last week, and we ran right all the way up until it was time to go, which I enjoy those kind of shows where I get to interact with the callers and with the people, because honestly, that's what it's all about. You know, we're not monotone. We all have suggestions, thoughts, ideas, and what's to say that yours is not the right one? And that's why I myself try to encourage people to speak up, speak out, because a closed mouth don't get fed. You know, that's just an old proverb that's been passed down within our community for years. But yeah, I wrote another piece and I wanted to share it last week, and I'm going to share it this week because actually I think that it is more of an appropriate piece, and especially with my subject matter on activism tonight. I named this called No More Chains, Physical or Mental. The fear is a weapon used to control the mentality. I counter it with my knowledge of spirituality. Doing right or wrong is how the system challenged me, and wrong is all they managed to put in front of me. The violence among us must definitely come to a cease if we expect to experience any resemblance of peace. We're continuously on the bottom, in the belly of the beast. Consistent unity is what we need, to say the least. Being public enemy number one, black identity extremists, I think we've already seen this. The first thing out of their mouth is, oh, we didn't mean it. And the question is, why do we still fall for it? So damn tired of saying names and sharing hashtags, constantly bombarded with Blackfield body bags, intent on turning a situation from good to bad, may depend on what type of night or day they've had. Zimmerman fired the first shot to start this marathon, senselessly, with no remorse, taking the life of Trayvon. We can't forget. Think about if he were your son arrogantly selling and getting six figures for the gun. We behave as if we don't know what to do. George, Botham, and Sandra could be me or could be you. Supremacy is the enemy. We know this to be true. Death is all around us, but we act like we don't have a clue. Since 1619, the language has been loud and very clear, never thinking we'd ever advance this much when they kidnapped us here. Picnics after church, as we swung, they laugh and cheer, while a family deals with the pain, the cries are what we hear. It's 2021. As I look around, I don't see much of a change. Doing anything over and over without change is insane. Fearful to do the right damn thing as if we don't have a brain. The only way to make it stop is to redistribute the pain. When I say redistribute the pain, some may come for me. But the first step in the plan must start economically. Just like in Montgomery, we operated pain if we can't take control financially. We're witnessing lynchings again. Will we allow that forever? Black bodies would stop dropping if we would just stay together. Yet death and adversity still won't make us do better. You don't know it. You'll repeat it. I ain't said nothing clever. I mentioned unity, which is just another step to the solution. Our own dissension is what's preventing the revolution. Self-inflicted, divide and conquer, started by this institution, which will continuously lead us to the same conclusion, for us to stay together collectively and exert our power combined, would eliminate all the hurt. We need each other. Why not put ourselves first so we can finally gaze down while sitting high on the perch? Our blood, sweat, and tears still we cannot earn. KRS-One said years ago, you must learn. The lessons of the past can't continue to burn. Retribution for aggressions should be should become the pattern. As we continue to look, we witness with wide open eyes the modern day version and the agenda of black genocide. My brothers, your warrior spirit should be raging inside, so my fight will always be about equality and black pride. Continue to move in calamity and confusion. Divide and conquer is the tool, and we do the abusing. Insanity at its finest. What minds are we using? We need our collective ones to end, or the end will be our conclusion. All right. That one was a long one. It was just a lot on my mind, but I hope you enjoyed. I take critiques on it. I mean, if it's good, it's good. If it's bad, I take a bad critique, but that was something I wrote a few weeks back, feeling something, and I had been working on that poem for a while, but I actually sat and finished it. It's, I think, on point to what I want to talk about tonight, activism and why it's important for us to get involved in the movement. Before I get into that, I want to talk about something that's going on in Texas. And I don't know if anybody, if it's went national like it is all over Texas right now, but in the state of Texas, the Senate passed a bill, and this is another reason why we need to get involved in some kind of way. And I mean, it don't have to be boots on the ground. There are so many ways you can help forward our progress, and some of it is so effortless. That's what I was telling my brother earlier. There are a lot of things that we could do that are effortless. Boycotting is effortless. Doesn't require anything but withdrawing your money from this system. Effortless. But the Texas Senate passed a bill that prohibits the teaching that the KKK was immoral. And I want you to think about that now. And I don't know how many of you are familiar with Texas and our governor, Greg Abbott, little Greg, but he's a Trumper, and he is one of these Republican governors who are running around right now trying to do things to appease Donald Trump. You see a whole lot of states falling in line trying to appease Donald Trump, and I don't understand the fear. Donald Trump is nobody, in my opinion. But I see people holding their breath almost to death in fear of Donald Trump. And like I say, we have a lot of states that are passing bills right now that are voters here in the near future. We got the elections coming up, the midterms coming up next year, and you know this year is flying right on by. So you know we got to get ready for midterms. I'm not going to encourage anyone not to vote. Just something that I don't, in my opinion, don't see that has ever worked for us collectively. Just like we went out and busted our asses voting for Joe Biden. And all in the same breath, what has Joe Biden done for us like what we collectively did for him? Not me. I couldn't vote for either one of them because the lesser of two evils is just a choice that I'm not going to make, because either choice I make is still evil. And Joe Biden is no better as far as character, morality, value, integrity. He has no more love for us than Donald Trump. But this Texas Senate has, and Greg Abbott has been passing a series of bills here lately. But this is just another slap in the face, and like I say, in my opinion, another reason why we should all want to get involved, because it's something that all of us can participate in. And like I say, it doesn't always have to be boots on the ground. There are so many avenues that you can take in this movement to change the condition. And these types of actions that are happening in these governments and in these different are the valid reasons as to why there is a reason to fight. Because if you're paying attention, what they are trying to do is literally take us back. And if we don't know our history, we are doomed to repeat it. Now, we all know our history, but knowing it and then acting accordingly is two different, you know, peas, two different peas in the pod, or, you know, so to say. But also, there's been such a big push and a big talk, uproar about the CRT and this critical race theory. And I have my thoughts on that. But that, too, is just another reason why we need to collectively start working together, because it's just smart, for one, and it's beneficial to us all. And also, I wanted to give condolences
to one of history's divis, who passed on the 15th of July, actually, and I discovered it over the weekend. But Gloria Richardson, who was the leader of the Cambridge movement in Cambridge, Maryland, passed away on June 15th. She was 99 years old. There's a picture of her, the most famous picture of her that really makes her known, if you, and I'm sure that you've all seen it, the picture of the lady who's pushing the gun away from her face, and the soldier's holding a gun with a bayonet on the end, and she's walking by him with her hand pushing the gun away. That is Queen Mother Gloria Richardson, rest in power. Also, I was reading earlier today, and I didn't know much about this brother at all until I ran across the article, but his name was Bob Moses, and he wasn't an activist per se in the way we consider an activist to be, but his actions were empowering. So activism really is just empowering others and allowing your selflessness to be a light for others. And this brother Bob Moses, rest in power as well, was 86, and he started what was called the Algebra Project. And what he did, what he focused on was mathematics skills and improving mathematics skills in the black youth. So that action in itself is empowering, and it is activism. And that's why I say there are so many ways that you can contribute to the movement, and not all of them have to be boots on the ground. As I was putting this show together, I was just thinking activism and what it means to me. And to me, activism is love. It's a passion for the people. And when I say it's love, I mean it is love. It's general love and passion for your people and passion for the people, because some are out here suffering that don't look like you and I. And that is going to start becoming a problem in itself as well. And that's why I say it's for all people. It's not white hate nor any hate towards others in any way. If you go back in history, when black organizations started to form, none of those particular groups focused on white hate nor hatred towards others. The focus was on black upliftment, black empowerment, and helping each other to become better individuals and fighting a system that was and still is actively oppressing all of us. And we'll get into that too, because some people don't even know they're being oppressed because they feel as if they have the complexion for the protection. And this system doesn't care about that. This system cares about Benjamins, money, poor, rich. Activism. I think you should have an understanding of history, the government, and how it works and really how it doesn't work, and a desire to change it to make it work for all people. Activism on bettering the overall black experience. And when I say that, I mean safe neighborhoods. Us embracing the black experience and appreciating and having pride in who we are. Also, to protect the community and provide opportunities for community growth, which is businesses, schools, shopping, clothing stores, grocery stores, hospitals, you know, everything that a nation would need to sustain itself is what needs to be our focus. We've had example after example. Activism, just the action of what happened in Slocum, Texas, Ocoee, Elaine, Tulsa, just the action of building a town in unity, that is activism. That is providing opportunity, and that's what we have to do. We have to be more focused on providing opportunity for ourselves, because if you're not paying it, this government right now is systematically working on taking away jobs, and without jobs, there's no money for you to pay your bills, for you to survive. They're automating everything. They're trying to take food literally out of the mouths of the people. But a lot of people are not focusing on that. A lot of people are too busy focusing on what we're being shown and letting that keep us divided and conquered. Also, last but not least, provide and maintain safe, like I say, thriving neighborhoods and having self-pride. There are so many different I got my brother. He's waiting on me, okay. We have in this line of work, just like in any line of work, so many people who are not authentic, who are not genuine, who get into it with ulterior motives, who get in it for self-centered reasons, for self-gain, and it's even right now, and I wasn't going to mention them, but I'm just like with the Black Lives Matter movement. Everybody just jumped on the bandwagon and started running with it. And now that the, you know, time, now that a little time has passed, and just like with anything, the truth will come to light. We're finding out now that not only is it financed by white supremacist George Soros, it is more of a LGBTQ movement, and I'm not knocking that, but in activism, it's about black first, period. We're not being treated the way we are because we are a certain way. We're being treated the way we are because of who we are what we choose to be. And we have got to learn how to start working together for the common cause. And the common cause is to change the condition for us collectively. And we have these movements like the Black Lives Matter movement that comes in and it pulls us apart. It separates us. Just like, for instance, a few months back when everybody was on the NFAC train, the NFAC. And when that brother first came out, I knew it was not real because I saw too many people get pulled off of YouTube for saying way less things than what that brother was saying. And he was also making soft threats. And they were allowing that to happen. And that, to me, just let me know, no, something's not right about that, who somebody sent him. And then you had a lot of us jumping on that bandwagon. And like I say, yeah, we are in a war, no doubt. And, yeah, is it time for us to react? Yes, no doubt. But we have to have a plan of action. In fact, Grandmaster Jay had no plan of action. He just had people with guns. People with guns, okay. But you have to be organized. And like I say, we have to stop being so quick to follow. And I'm always one to tell people, link up with people that you already know and that you know are like-minded and start building your circle from there. Don't be so quick to always jump on somebody else's wagon. Build your own wagon and pull it. Put in it who you want to put in it, who you trust, who you know you can work with, build with. Because that's truly what it's all about, building you a solid circle of people. Because that's what we need to start doing nationally is networking with one another, building networks. We got to do that. All right. That tonight is my subject matter. And as I said in the beginning of the show, I've got my comrade. I'm going to take a quick break, and then I'm going to bring him on. And let him shed some of his light and knowledge and wisdom. Like I say, this brother is, I know he doesn't like accolades, but when you know good people and meet good people and people who are real and solid, you tend to gravitate to them. And the first time that me and this brother ever conversed, it was just like a natural bond. It was like we already knew one another. And still to this day, it's the same way. And like I say, he brought me into the fold. And I'm just trying to do my part. But Brother Kevin Crosby, and he is known. I'll just say that, and then I'm going to take a break. I'm going to let him tell his story because I think, you know, how we all get started in this is a story in itself, and everybody has a different reason why they got into this movement, into this fight. So I will be bringing him on right after this break. I forgot at the beginning of the show I was giving out so much information about everything that was going on new. I forgot to give out the call-in number, but I want to thank everybody that's listening online. And I'd appreciate you call in. You can call in. Like I say, it is a show, really, like I say, for the people because it's time for us to work to change the condition. But the call-in number is 914-205-5538. Again, that's 914-205-5538. You can also just call in and listen if you want. But I prefer you to get in the conversation. Don't hesitate to speak what's on your mind and don't feel like what you have to say doesn't matter. All right, so this is the big picture. Melvin Sherry Jr., take a quick break. We'll be right back.
How many of you want to see the...
Welcome back to the big picture with Melvin Sherry Jr. As promised, going to be bringing on my brother Kevin Crosby in this segment. Those of you who may be listening online, the call-in number is 914-205-5538. Y'all can get in on this conversation by calling in and pressing the 1 to be placed in the queue, and I'll open your mic. If you might have any questions, comments, concerns, or just remarks that that you're feeling, feel free to call in 914-205-5538. At this time, I'm going to be opening up my brother's mic, and I'm going to let him introduce himself to the audience, and I'll let him tell you a little bit about himself. I'm going to shut my mouth. My brother, peace. Thank you for joining me tonight. Welcome.
Peace, brother. What's going on?
Oh, man, not a lot. Another day. How about yourself?
It is what it is. Still black and American.
No doubt. So, I don't know. I just want to, I guess, kind of to familiarize yourself with the people, just how, what was it, I guess what I'll ask you first is, what was it that really, and I already know the answer to the question, but just so the people will know, because like I was saying, there's so many different reasons that we get involved in this fight, but what was the reason that you decided to, you know, organize and get into this movement? I know for me, you know, it was a series of things that happened in the ninth grade, but, you know, it's something that triggers us all to get involved. And what was that for you, brother?
A few different things, but the thing that made me decide to take it up a level was I had a situation where me and my daughter were actually watching a movie called Bamboozled, and there was questions she was asking me that I was bothered that she didn't know the answers to, because the information's pretty easily accessible. And I was surprised that, you know, that these questions were even coming. And that was when I had decided to start a page for her, considering she liked Facebook and she's the only reason I ever went on there, that for her and her friends to go and get real info. In doing so, that kind of opened up something, because a few people became aware of the page that I did not know who would actually help move the page forward. T.I.'s and Tiny's daughter, Zonique Pullins, she was one of those, a few others, who actually helped to move the page a little bit. And I wound up having an interaction with Bobby Seale. Bobby Seale was talking to me as if I had already started a Panther group. And that's when I went ahead and decided to go ahead and start one. And in doing so, it kind of opened me up to a lot of illusions that got shattered, and certain things became way more clear. And I realized that the activist versus the revolutionary versus the apathetic citizen, a lot of times we have all of these things in us and we tend to lean towards one of them or the other. Those who usually want to be activists is usually because something's going on and they want to see a change. The revolutionary is more committed down to life to protect those and to also try to administer change on a bigger level in order for the common good. The apathetic citizen is what you see mostly in America and other countries that have pretty much given up all hope of fighting for themselves and have basically decided that they're going to wait for the government to have a change of heart. that's what I see from it. So what made me decide to not be apathetic about the situation anymore was that it was getting bad. I have a child. I have females in my family. I have brothers out there. I got friends, poor, and all this other stuff. And I was like, nobody's saying anything. Somebody's got to say something. And that's when I decided to go ahead and do that. And that was my in doing so, I decided that I wanted to make it more timely for now. We can't follow everything from a different era and expect it to work now. So what we needed was people who were ready to actually think about what was going on in their neighborhood or in their area or in their county or in their state and actually start trying to do some things about it and see what you can make happen. What I appreciate about that is while not every person that I encountered did that, quite a few of them did, and in different areas. What started off, like I said, as a thought, wound up becoming food programs, some clothing programs, some backpack things, some things to help the homeless, blanket programs. We even had a little bit of a grant writing thing for a while. We've had quite a few things that were able to come out of it. We've been affiliated with some other good things, Clint Collins and others in Missouri with the Put Down Your Guns, Pick Up Your Sons, and, you know, and other different organizations. You know, it's been interesting. And I would love to see more people get in there and do more things. You don't have to do everything. Just do something. Anything helps. Right now, I've been trying to get as many people signed up for the rental assistance as possible. $180 million in this state, and I know every state has it. I would suggest that everybody look for the rental assistance program, the emergency rental assistance program in your state. And get an application in there. Don't have to be behind in your rent. They actually, in some places, are paying from 3 to 6 months forward for utilities and rent, which is coming at a great time. The holidays, for those of you to celebrate, are coming up. You're going to need the extra money. So if you can get a little bit of help, get it while the getting's good. So remember, the Emergency Rental Assistance Program is in your state. Every state has it. The government gave out billions towards this. I would advise you to take advantage of it. With that, I'm going to hear.
All right. And that's what you just did at the end, just giving out that information, you know, because I was saying earlier in the show that, you know, a lot of people feel like there's nothing that they can do. And, like, you know, me and you had the discussion earlier offline, you know, off air that about, you know, anything that you can do towards the cause is helpful. Some people feel like that it is because they're not boots on the ground, that they're not contributing. But there are many areas and aspects, and just like that information you just gave out, you know, that is helpful. That is activism. That is something that is helpful for the people, you know, and that's what I was trying to express earlier, just the fact that, you know, some of the things that we could do towards changing the condition are effortless, like boycotting, simply keeping your money in your pocket, you know, we need people to do research. You need people, I mean, in every area. You know, and like I say, everybody is not going to be boots on the ground, and everybody doesn't want to be boots on the ground. Some people just like to be in the background, you know, putting in the work. And that's all fine and good, you know, but there are, like you say, so many programs out there where we can get assistance, but a lot of times we don't find out about them until, you know, the program has ended, you know, and all the funds are gone. So, yeah, I mean, and for me, I mean, you and I go back about 5 years now. Got a lot of background noise. You must be walking, bro.
Nah, it was a noise from outside.
Oh, yeah. I know when I first, when you and I first connected, you know, and I was just as eager then as I am now for the change. But, you know, my reasons and how I got involved was just something as simple as an act that happened to me, you know, years ago, but it stuck in my mind. And then once I actually, you know, graduated high school, got into real life and adulthood, well, you're either going to go along to get along, or you'll be one that's going to see what's wrong and address what's wrong and, you know, try to change it, you know, and especially when it's not working in your favor or in anybody that looks like you favor, you know. So I wanted to ask you, or just really not, I don't guess ask you, but just bring up a scenario, because I know that it happened when I very first connected with you, you know, because we connected and then there was some time that passed before we actually reconnected again because of a situation. And I just want to kind of bring that into the mix, and that's something to what I was saying before the break, you know, because some people, I mean, every group, the Panthers, Fred Hampton sect, every organization had plants, you know. They had plants in there with Martin. They had plants in there with Malcolm. I'm pretty sure with Mega Evers it was the same thing. You know, and all of our, you know, most prominent black leaders anyway were always, unfortunately, infiltrated. And that goes back to what I was saying earlier about people connecting with people that they know, and they know are like-minded, and they know are, you know, trying to make a difference and a change collectively. But in doing that, you still have to be careful, because sometimes even the people that you know or think you know, for a price will sell their integrity, morals, values, and, you know, go along to get along. So I just want to get your thoughts, because, like I say, I know from past that it has, you know, been inside and it's happened with you. And I just want to get your thoughts on people who use the system, you know, I mean, well, who use activism as a what's the word I'm looking for? As a means to, you know, as a means to just build themselves up in a, or even people who just get into the movement to tear the movement down. Straight up just infiltrate the movement. Like we've had in the past with William O'Neill's and such, you know, throughout our trying to organize and trying to build. And what's your thoughts on that? You know,
I'm sorry,
people who
you said a lot,
come
man.
In.
What's the actual question?
People who come in, people who come in with ulterior motives, you know, not really, more or less working to divide and conquer, you know, or either just coming in with self-centered motives.
But there's no way to really know that when they're coming in. You really don't know. Nobody knows when they're coming in. They don't know what to expect. They don't know what they're really doing there. It's just the right thing. They feel like they want to do something. Now, some get disillusioned along the way. Some, their priorities change somewhere in there. But what I've dealt with personally has been people who came in and already had an agenda. And we're basically trying to use the group or the name or something to their advantage. Some were doing it because they wanted to get to other factions in the Panther movement. Some were doing it basically to look legitimate to other people. Why? I wouldn't know. Why would they want to do that? Makes no sense to me. Because if you're not coming to become part of the organization and actually do something or do something to help, then, yeah, the question would be, what are you putting all of this energy in for? I've experienced some, and these are people who are still in the movement to some extent, who were really not trying to make any movement, more so wanted to be connected. Not really to put in any work, but yet to be there when, you know, if there were any wins to celebrate, they wanted to be right there without doing anything. And then you have those who you'll never know what their motive is. They will come up with a bullshit story of why they want to get in. One of the things that always catches me is, if I don't have any questions for you when we interview you, if you have actually sat there and said everything you thought I wanted to hear, then you've probably already messed up, because that's going to be a heavy rock to tote, because I'm going to remember what you told me. And if there are any inconsistencies, then yeah, you'll get called out on that. You know, I've had right now, there's a guy who, you know, thinks that, you know, I don't know who he's investigating me for, but it's not going to end like he thinks. You know, I'm not sure what his motive is, but his lies have, you know, went far reaching and really had no substance. I don't understand what the end game is. And with each person who's done that, didn't understand what the end game was. There's several people who came in and wanted to still sell drugs while they were, you know, feeding people on the weekend or, you know, doing other functions. And you can't be part of the problem and then show up on the weekend and be part of the solution. The guy you sold drugs to should not have to stand in that line to get a bag of your groceries. Because now you're a hypocrite. You're taking from the same people that you claim to be helping. They already got the government to do that. That'll be you.
Good point. Yeah. I think I agree with what you said, and I think it's really unfortunate that, you know, some of us are not And it's not even really about being genuine to me. It's about being genuine with yourself, you know. And if there's one thing that you can't do, you can't fool yourself, you know. So I do agree, because those are choices, as opposed to like when we talked the other day, you know, like in the case of William O'Neill, it was really, he was forced to do it. It was an either or, you know. And like you said, you know, in majority cases, people just do it because it's, like you say, an agenda. It's something that, you know, what is the end game? What is it that you're really trying to accomplish? Because, you know, at the moment, it's senseless, really, and in turn only damaging your character. I'm gonna take a break real quick and come back. I see I got some more callers on the line. If you are listening online and are interested in getting in on the discussion, may have questions, comments, or just concerns, or just remarks. The call-in number is 914-205-5538. And I'm going to take a quick break, and I'll be right back.
Through the truck spot, robot. Can't give a damn who the fuck shot. Clean cop, fucking with that dirty cop. Don't act like your ass never heard of that. Clean cop, rolling with that mean cop. Still trying to act proud as a peacock. You know that mean cop might need a detox. Motherfucker tried to blow me out my Reebok, but I swing like Jack in a beanstalk. Chop him down when these bitches try to lock me down. Hit the ground, hit the turf, walk the earth. Q, kidnap your mind, Patty Hearst. Bust a verse that'll make your ass hit reverse. Kill the curse that was placed on the universe. West Coast warlord, black it in the black night. Fuck a black and white when they ain't acting right. Good cop, filling out your report. Bad cop asking you to distort. Bad cop asking you to lie in court. Send another young brother up north. Send another young sister off course. Why these motherfuckers chill on the golf course?
Black police showing out for the white cop. White police showing out for the red cop. Black police showing out for the white cop. White police showing out for the red cop.
Lazy cop, fucking with that crazy cop. Always bragging about the new case they got. Do or die cop with that suicide cop. Tell the truth cop with that true or lie cop. Are you fucking high cop? Don't even try cop. Ain't no motherfucking drugs up in my spot. All you find in my closet is a high top. And my motherfucking ticket to the skybox. Hold up nigga,
hold up.
I'm a rider. Use a roller, yes the controller. Make me mad, that's when I get swole up. The incredible Hulk is bipolar. Come out the cup,
yeah.
Knock off the rust. Throw my hands up, so you still wanna bust. The Trojan horse is full of excessive force. When they try to get aggressive, niggas off the
come
porch.
On. Black police showing out for the white cop. White police showing out for the red cop. Black police showing out for the white cop. White police showing out for the red cop.
Good cop, where is your dignity? Where's your empathy? Where is your sympathy? Bad cop, where's your humanity? Good cop. Fuck the blue code, fuck the po-po, acting like Depot. Already know, Cracker, let the brick go. Black Lives Matter, it's not shit chatter. Cause all they wanna do is scatter
brain matter. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A nine is terrible in your face. The mace has a terrible fucking taste. The pen is a terrible fucking place. The kings all hate the fucking ace. The judge sabotaged my fucking case.
Racist motherfucker.
Showing out for the white cop. White police showing out for the white cop.
Peace. Welcome back to the Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. And I have Brother Kevin Crosby also on with me tonight. If you're listening online, call in numbers 914-205-5538. You can call in and listen, or if you want to join in the conversation, please press the 1 and I will open up your mic. We're talking about activism and why we should all be involved in the movement. During the break, I was just thinking about all the movements that have come throughout our history and how the women were such an essential part of all those movements, you know. Just like I'll just like with Malcolm X, for say, with what he did and how his wife, the Betty, stood right by him through thick and thin, knowing it was dangerous, knowing that there were risks involved. Same with the sisters who also helped build the original Black Panther Party. So I guess what I want to kind of delve into now is the necessity of the woman in the movement. I do think it's critical to have the female input within the movement to give it balance. And in some instance, the sisters are more apt to put in the work than the brothers. It frustrates me so much that more of us brothers are not stepping to the front line to get involved. Women, like I say, have always lent themselves within any movements, in some cases, women even started the movement. We can go back to Tubman, who in herself was her own movement, and did very necessary work in freeing, you know, people and taking people out of bondage, which is the end game of any activist, to remove his people from the so-called bondage or Afrin under the thumb of this thematic oppression. So I guess Bruh Kevin, what are your thoughts? And I kind of probably know what you where you're going to go. But I know, like I say, we've had several of our queens who have, you know, been essential in these movements and have also been informative as well in these movements. I think of Dr. Frances Chris Welsing and her contribution to the movement, research and all the research that she did and the books that she wrote. That's activism. Like I say, it doesn't always have to be boots on the ground. It's just making the contribution, whatever it may be, to change the condition. But yeah, Brother Kevin, I guess what I was, the question is, yeah, I guess, you know, what are your thoughts about women in the movement? Good thing or bad thing? He might be muted right now. But
bro. That was women are vital in the movement, more so than men. Women are the reason why anything ever got done as far as any movement or so-called progress, whatever. It didn't happen without women. They are more than vital. And the thing is, they were doing double duty because they were home taking care of the family and the house and the kids and still being active, while the man, all he had to do really was get out there and be active. So women are more vital, in my opinion, to the movement just because of the fact that what they bring, they literally do bring from a solid place. Now, that's not saying that all of them do. There are some out there, such as some of those that we've encountered and others who were on a whole nother plateau and use that as their way in, because they will put in a lot of work. They will do those things. However, they're emotional creatures just like men, and they have the same issues that we have on certain stuff too. But I will say this, because I'm going to have to get ready to get out of here, and I do appreciate the show. The activism is a good topic. I didn't know how that would go, but I'm glad that the people are paying attention to it. But what I would suggest is that every organization that is out there now, if they don't have women helping to run it at the top, then they're doomed to fail. From queens come kings. Remember that. With that, I do yield. I appreciate you, brother. I'm going to try to call back in. I got to take care of something, all right?
All right, brother. Appreciate you.
My brother. All of y'all, check him out on Activate Media on Fridays, 9 o'clock. He'll make sure you get the info on that. Check him out on the nationwide rebroadcast. People are going to hear his word everywhere. And you're riding with him on the first show. So congratulations, bro.
Thank you, my brother. All right. My sister, I do have your microphone open, and I was hoping that you would chime in on this one, because I know you to be one of the solid sisters, and appreciate you calling in. And your mic is open. Welcome.
Thank you. How you doing this evening, brother? Peace.
No, I'm good. How about yourself?
Doing good. I first want to start off and congratulate you on your new platform. Well-deserved. Okay. But I'll chime in a little late. I called in the beginning, then I had to do something, so I hung up, then I called back. Like, man, I was kind of all over. But speaking on activism, just to go back to what you were saying about people's intention and motive, as brother, just picking up where Brother Kevin left off, you know, you never really know just with anything in life. When people walk into your life in general, you never really know their motive. You know, it's a lot easier when you're a child meeting new people. You know, it's way easier as a child identifying, you know, it's not as important then to know what a person's right. purpose is in life, you know, as an adult. But in activism, right. when a person walks into your life, you know, who knows? Some people come in strictly with the motive. Some people come in with good intentions, but then with anything else in life, think about it in business, you know, everybody comes in, hired in as a certain with a certain position, and then things come in such as envy and, you know, hey, my role is this, but I see this person getting this much clout for this, so therefore I'm starting to feel a certain way about this, you know, so all kind of things come in and transpire, you know, and then you have those people who were specifically put there to be snakes. So it's just hard to catch. Like we were talking about on the show previously, you just kind of got to always have your antennas up. So hold on, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But, so yeah, that's pretty much that. And as far as our role in activism or anything in life, I've been noticing lately with this new platform going around, it seems like I've been, like I said, I just now pretty much over the last few months started getting more on social media and noticing a strange turn I'm seeing due to a certain person who I just care not to even name. But I'm starting to see a turn. It's like I've noticed over the past couple of years, the push for unity of the black people was starting to grow. You know, the unity of black love, you know, the uplifting of black women, of black people as a whole, you know, from artistry to black people being noticed and not just amongst each other, but on a global platform. I don't know if you've paid much attention to that, but just globally mm-hmm. over the last few years, you know, we had been put in the forefront on just little things I had been noticed, you know, of how more acceptance that we should have always had. If I think that we had took a bigger stance in embracing that, the world would have been forced to embrace as well. But I'm starting to notice a small attempt for it to be disrupted. I don't know. I don't even know what words to use to describe it, but it's like I want to see more platforms where like I wish our platform, what we do, we push it more to an extent where, you know, it's more vocal, because I love the content, especially the last few contents that you've been putting out there as family, you know, family units and, you know, togetherness and, you know, I don't know, it's been really positive. And
right.
watching what I have seen happen over the last couple weeks and going from what I've been listening to and us talk about to seeing the growth of that and the things, like I said, it could be small. And it's just that because right. I'm just now seeing how rapidly it's growing and the number of men that are clutching on to this as though it is bond is disturbing. The number of black men at that is disturbing. So, I mean, my mind was like so on that when, while I was listening. So it just took me to a place to, so in our walk of activism, it's crazy because some of the people I see that are moving to that movement are people that I actually saw just a few years ago in an activism mind state. It's like, how do you fit into activism now if you feel in this way? Like, can you do both? Because now it seems like you're feeling like you're in a state of division between black men and black women, because now you feel like your mind is in a state of dominancy of black men over black women, and black women have no value. So how are you going to fight a fight of your people if your mind is set on, you know? So
Right, right, right. And I agree because anything
at this point.
Yeah, I mean, and I agree with that because I understand what you're saying because that's one reason that I've kind of been staying off of Facebook so much because of the divisiveness on Facebook. And yeah, if you don't respect, this is for women as well as men. If the black man does not, the black woman, he doesn't deserve to be, I won't say he doesn't deserve to be, but I don't see much purpose for him in the movement. Because the first thing about activism is you have to love self. And by loving self, that means you loving your brother and your sister as well. And too much, we let the smallest things come in between us. And I agree with what you're saying because there's a brother out there right now, and
sure
I don't
if
agree
I was
with
my point. You know what I mean? I wasn't sure if I was delivering.
Yeah,
there's something I'm trying to say, and I wasn't sure if I was delivering it to you. Like, it just alarms me to the point that where are we standing with activism? Because to me, that's a separate thing from activism because you can't be call yourself an activist and feel this way because you're dividing our community as such. As a woman who looks to herself as an activist, I know my place when dealing with my black man. Now, if you're a black man that thinks like that, I don't even look at you as worthy for me to respect you because you're separating yourself from amongst what I'm trying to do for our community. But you feel like building up the community consists of destroying the black woman first, and that's how we start rebuilding the community. I don't understand that. I have no understanding of that.
And see, that goes back to what I was saying earlier. You know, we have so many of these groups that pop up out of nowhere, like Black Lives Matter, and end up that their true agenda is not for Black Lives Mattering.
Right.
You know, and those are the things, like I say, where we have to connect ourselves. Like, I know you. I know Kia. So if I connect with Kia, I know, okay, I'm with some good people. And if I connect with anybody you connect me with, I'm going to, you know, accept them as good people as well. You know what I'm saying? But like I say, far too much, we intermingle with people to try to get position as opposed to intermingling with people to try to change the condition and gain true collective control. And like you say, because I'm so tired of seeing women talking about what men need to do, men talking about what women need to be doing, when no man can tell a woman what she needs to be doing, just like no woman can tell a man. We just have to know right from wrong and practice that. And we do, I agree, because, yeah, we do a lot of undercutting. And then we present it, you know, it's presented as true information. But on the real, it's, like I say, divisiveness. And it's not conducive to betterment for us. Because that's why I did those shows on family and family foundation, because we have truly got to understand, like I always say, let me throw it on in here, how much we need each other, you know, and that is activism. Because see, back in the 60s, it worked, Kia, in my opinion, because the people knew that they needed each other. You feel me? Back in the 60s and before, it was rough for us. We had to bond with one another, you know what I'm saying? But with our so-called freedom and integration and all that, we got comfortable. and we thought that we were accepted, and therefore we didn't feel like we needed each other anymore. We had completed the task, and we could move about, but that wasn't and still is not the case, you know. So we got to go, you know, unfortunately, we got to rewind because we still need to fix what hasn't been fixed. And it takes us all working as a unit, you know. And like I say, it starts with family because when they can see families raising hell, husbands and wives, you know, real families sticking together and doing what they're supposed to be doing as families, that's when we become dangerous. See, they're not fearing us because we don't even work together in a family unit, you know? So what's to fear with that? And that's why I feel like activism is important because, and I feel like, too, yeah, a lot of us are waking up now. It's a slow process, but, yeah, a lot of us are waking up. The brothers truly need to wake up because we got to be the front line, you know. Like I say, there's nothing wrong. I love a woman who can defend herself, period, point blank. And me and Kevin talked last week after the show because I'm like this. If something, if a burglar breaks into my home, I want to look beside me and see my woman right there with me, you know. And that's how we have to work as one, because I know if I hear something in the house and she hears something in the house, we both thinking the same thing. You know, who is that? And let me go take care of this. So we have to be on the same level, on that same mindset. And then, too, it's all about just respect for one another. There is no room in activism for arrogance. And a lot of people get cocky, get arrogant. I feel like this. I don't know it all. I'm still learning. And I love to learn. And but as I learn, I like to share. And that's part of activism. When we get an idea and we make it, when we make a million, we need to show 10 more people how we did it. Instead of, and but what will we do with it? The majority of us, we'll keep it under lock and key because we don't want no competition, you know. But right. Regardless of what, you know, whether we share it with each other, it'll get stolen if we don't share it. And then the other side will profit while we making our money where the rest of us are suffering. You know, we're not enough with one another. We're not compassionate enough with one another, you know. So
no, we're compassionate with
everyone except us, you know. And if you look at every other ethnicity, sister, family works, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't see the same issues plaguing other ethnicities that you see plaguing us.
And people,
you know,
don't get. I was having a discussion with a young man, and he doesn't get it. I told him we just agree to disagree because he felt like we need to clean up our home first and then worry about the outside. But I told him, you know, you have to understand the outside is what causes the disarray of our homes. I mean, I've never seen that. Every time I watched a brand new home being built, the outside structure always went up before the interior. So I mean, he has to understand that even though it's been generations and generations ago, this has been deeply rooted. It started from the outside, and is why our family dynamics are so dysfunctional. Even though at one point it seems we tried, even though in the 60s and 50s, and there was a point in time when it seemed really, even and still, that was so dysfunctional. Because think about the times when, during that era, when old man John died and you buried him, and he had a whole nother family sitting over there. you know what I mean, that, you know, it may was known about, but, you know, hey, it was nothing like it would be today. It'd have been a whole scene at that funeral, you know.
Right.
You know, he had a whole another family or two sitting over there. You know, it was always some sort of dysfunction. Because even though, I don't know, it just depends on what a person believe. If that's Western, you're dead, blah, 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 you know, one man should have one. But you had a whole another household of family that grew up with a father not in that home, that they had to grow up with, seeing a father maybe every blue moon, if ever, that he may not even acknowledge, you know, that he might have dropped in to see every now and again. So you have a house full of boys growing up with no father guiding them, our daughters growing up with no father attending. You know, I mean, we've always been, you know, in a position of dysfunction. So we just differed on the opinion that he felt like, well, we worry about, we fix inside and then worry about the system. But I really think, unfortunately, and I hate to say it, but the mass of our people are sheep. I see it every day. We just go with the masses, like you just said. We got a little bit of freedom and thought, oh, wow, this is this. So if you look each decade, we just go along. Any little peanuts they throw us, we think so. Hey, now we're allowed to live in this neighborhood right next to the white people. So what do? We abandon the communities that were ours, that were once the stores that our grandpeople owned, and houses that were given to us by our grandparents that they actually owned, and leave them to go buy houses to live next to people who don't even want us there. Once we move in your neighborhood, you get mad because we bring your property value down. Why, when the blood that runs through my veins is the same color as yours?
And you know what? That's a good point you brought up. That's a good point you brought up. How we you know, this the other day with some brothers, and integration, you know, that hurt us more than it helped us. And like you say, you know, there are more. And I was in Birmingham a couple of weeks ago and actually got to take in a little bit of the city. But what I noticed, and you live here in the South too, so you probably see it like I do. In most of your black neighborhoods in the South, like you said, the houses are vacant, the old businesses. Like here in Birmingham, I went through a section of what used to be the black downtown in a neighborhood called Inslee. And there was vacant building after vacant building after vacant building after vacant building. And, I mean, these were businesses, I mean, buildings fit and suitable for businesses still right now. But they're just sitting there.
Dilapidated, you know what's going to happen?
You know.
But you know what's going to happen,
brother? Yeah, I know exactly what'll happen.
Come buy them up, fix them up, and run up the price of the rent like they're doing in major cities. But that's what they do.
Because
we run
in most of these. In most of these smaller towns, like in my hometown in East Texas, for instance, the East Side. That's where most of the black people live. And over the last, I'll say, 10 years, the demographic has been changing. There are more Hispanics moving into the East End. And as they do, they're buying up land that is in the black neighborhood right now. And see, I was talking to my cousin last night from she lives in Lansing, Michigan, and we got to talking, and where we make the mistake, we feel like buying a house is doing something. No, the house will depreciate. Land does not. And you can keep land, and like we were talking, you know, you never know who may want to put something on that land. And then you can just lease that land to that business or to whoever and have a residual income, you know. But a lot of times, in a lot of cases, and I know a brother that did it, had a home given to him And he gave up that home and ended up losing it. And to me, you know, that makes no sense when all you got to worry about is our bills and taxes, no rent, no mortgage, no, you know, bills and taxes. That's it, you know. And we like I say, we let beneficial things slip away, and then we hold on to the nonsensical stuff. You know what I mean? The things that don't net us any gain, but we want to hold on to that. But the things that really, truly will benefit us, we'll let those types of things slip right through our fingertips, you know. So, yeah, that's a very good point. Very good point you brought up because, yeah, like you say, those businesses, and it is aggravating because of the simple fact that we collectively have the money to rebuild those towns, to rebuild those businesses. You know, we just don't do it. We just won't do it. And like you say, what'll happen is some city slicker will come in there and buy up the whole block, just like what happened in Harlem recently, you know, over the last few years, where Harlem has now been gentrified. And now, you know, Harlem is where everybody goes now, you know. And that happens, like I say, at our own discretion. We let that happen because a lot of times, unfortunately, when we inherit things like that or if we have ownership of things like that, we don't really know the value of it, you know.
And I don't even think of you because we looked at it like it was nothing because it wasn't good enough because in our minds for so long we thought white was right because everything that the white people had, they made us to believe and we fell into it that what they had, where they were, was always better. So black people didn't strive to have to improve what they had. Black people strive to have what white people had, not realizing what they had already was golden. You already, you own this. If your mother died and left you a house, it's yours already, baby. Why go out and get a $300,000 house? No, because you think you want to keep up with the Joneses. Baby, your last name Thompson. Why you want to keep up with the Joneses? You don't know the debt the Joneses is in. You know, for this house.
Exactly.
You know, and where I'm from, this one little old white man owned just about every house in the black neighborhood, and he rents it out at sky-high prices and do minimal maintenance on them. And some of them none. People keep plunges by the toilet to flush the toilet. He doesn't. He's a slumlord. But he's making money off these houses that were once owned by black people that they don't longer care to own because they moved on to bigger, better houses. Like, I don't know. You know, not to say if you want to, that's fine, but why let go of something you already had? Hey, that should have been money in your pocket. House. You know, like I said, they come through and some people pay them and redo them, but you could have rebuilt your own neighborhood. You could have kept that house. That could have been something passed on to the child. They're straight out of high school, and, hey, they don't have to go and get an apartment because, boom, here you go.
Exactly.
These neighborhoods,
it's different for
us than in inner cities. Growing up, growing up in the 90s, gangbanger, man, they was copying what they were seeing going on in the West Coast. Down here, things were happening. Yep. Don't get it twisted. Things did happen, but 9 times out of 10, drive-bys, man, they were shooting in there. They weren't really trying to kill nobody. So our neighborhoods weren't just that horrible. We could have had control over that. These neighborhoods have to be as bad as they were.
Yep.
So it could have very well been a safe place for you to feel like, hey, I would be glad for my college student to live in his house. And so we just a bunch of followers, and I stand on that to this day. You know, you're not comfortable with you. I can't stand to hear a black woman say, oh, I can't wear that. I can't do that. I can't wear my natural hair. What do you mean you can't? It's yours. You can say you don't prefer to, but you can't. Like, you just, it's yours.
Right.
What do you mean?
Right. Definitely. Definitely. I agree.
Ooh, I don't feel
and
right without my weed. You don't feel right without it. It's not yours.
Because you made a good point earlier when you were in your statement about leaving stuff for the kids, you know, and that's important, you know, and what we have really gotta take into consideration as, and especially being my age, and I take this into consideration a lot more now that I have grandkids as well, you know, because when you have grandchildren, and at least for me, I'm trying to look at the world through their eyes, you know what I mean? And
right.
I can remember being a child and being able to be a child. And nowadays, in the world we live in, our children are sometimes not afforded the opportunity to actually be children, you know. And then that's where we have to begin to make the right sacrifices to give them back hopes and dreams, you know, and to let them know that there is a chance for them, you know, and we have to provide that. And I think you said that's important that we, you know, be able to leave at least our grandchildren something, you know, that they can use to forward themselves. Our children as well, but, you know, we've got to start paving the road for them to walk on, because the one that has been laid is no longer valid. You know, it's time for us to make our own rules, you know, to move how we want to move and not how we have to move. I've said that a few times, you know, and that's a lot of our problem. You know, we're not able to move how we want to move. We are only able to move how we're able to, how we're allowed to, you know. And I want my grandchildren to at least be able to experience some resemblance of true freedom and not having to look over their shoulder and worry about bad cop pulling them over and he's having a bad day and he's going to jack the first black person that, you know, doesn't do what he says, you know, because he's having a bad day, you know. So, like I say, we've got to, I won't say weaponize our children, but we've got to prepare them for the reality of this world and also give them the tools to progress and move forward in the world as well. So, yeah, that's a valid point. And like you say, passing down property and things in that nature, that's the best thing that we can be doing for our youth right now. And if we're not able to pass it down to them, at least show them the simple route to obtaining it.
Right.
So that was a valid point. Just like the point you made last week, or week before last, and that's really been on my mind ever since you said that. It might have been maybe about 3 weeks ago, but when we were talking and I said that we've got to stop being so fearful, and you made that still sticks with me because you said, I really don't think that we're so much in fear as we feel, have a feeling of defeat. And that really stuck with me because I've just never heard it put like that, you know, and that made a lot of sense to me. And it made me rethink being fearful as opposed to feeling defeated. And I think, too, that's a lot of the reason why some of us don't get involved, you know, and we are not as vocal, because, yeah, we feel as if we're already in the place where we're going to be, and this is where we're supposed to be, and that's really not the case. So that's, you know, another good valid point that you brought up that stuck with me, sister. And yeah, I have actually shared that point with a few of the brothers at the barbershop, and they look just like I, when you said it that night, it just came on. I was like, wow. And that's how they looked at me, like, wow. Now that is, you know, a valid point, you know, because yeah, I mean, and with what we, you know, with what we go through day in and day out, yeah, it can easily make you feel defeated, and especially when we never get a win.
Yeah. And a lot of times that's what it is, and people don't, sometimes, like I said, I do feel like a lot of times we stand in the way of our own wins because we so easily conform. People don't realize it, and it's because we are so easily distracted. I know it's like fasting, you know what I mean? It's like saying I'm a diet and stick to it. It's like, you know, it's sometimes it's hard to tune out, turn off and of everything, but sometimes you have to. I mean, when I sit and think, sometimes I try to put myself in the shoes of the forefather activists. They had nowhere near the distractions we have, but man, they had some right. tougher challenges. You know what I mean?
No doubt. They had no doubt. No doubt.
We have way more distractions technology-wise, but they had so many more challenges than we have, man, that I think it's we are a watered-down version of what they were in. I honestly feel like on a daily basis, we are highly disrespectful to what they were and what they stood for, because we have so many tools available to us. The very distractions we have are tools, are weapons, and we don't utilize them. It's like so many people,
yeah.
It makes me mad, so many people that don't care because they made it. They don't care.
Right.
They good. They
right.
feel like they are a part of the American dream. No, you're not, Negro. The Americans would chew you up and spit you out and remind you just how much of a nigger you are.
Right.
And that's and when
yeah.
they do, you looking back at the Negroes you left behind, reaching out like help. It happens. We watched it happen so many times.
Yeah. And that's another good point you made. Our ancestors faced, not that death is not looming over our heads either, but
oh, yeah.
our forefathers really had death looming over their heads because there was no justice for them. And when you said that, it made me think, because a couple of weeks ago when I came through Birmingham, and like I say, I've been trying to, since I'm, you know, back out here, stretched out a little bit, I've been trying to, if time allows, trying to soak up a little bit of the sights of cities. And when I was in Birmingham, and I know it's a rich historical black city, and I went by the 16th Street Baptist Church, and just stepping on that side, on the sidewalk of that church, you could still feel an energy. And on the side of that church, there is a plaque that is in
yeah.
the ground where the dynamite was placed. And on the side of that church, you can still see the blast mark, sister, from where that
wow.
dynamite exploded. And what you just said made me think of that, because you just think about them. That Sunday morning, they getting ready to start Sunday school. And I can just see those four little girls, you know, running around the church, probably not many people in there yet. And next thing you know, boom, their life is gone. See, like I say, it's not that the threat of death is not looming over our heads now, but the threat of death for them then was much more real than it is for us now, because they were still lynching people back in the 60s and 50s. They're still lynching people now. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But they can come and snatch you out of your house and just lynch you.
Right.
You know, so,
I agree with that
because much harsher times.
The one advantage we have now, like I said, with so much technology and communication, when something happened now, boy, you have you or 50
right.
people around you whipping phones. Oh, you won't drag
right.
me off and my family looks. And all of a sudden somebody walking and see my body swinging and they go, oh, he committed suicide. You know, no,
right,
he's caught on
right.
video. So you might sit up here and say he was, oh, his actions was justified for what he did to me, but the world seen and knows what happened exactly because it was all caught on video. You know, it's just the
yep.
thought, the thought, the fear that they lived in constantly of knowing I can't move about how I please at night. Or even during the day, because something could happen to me out the blue and nobody would know. Now, you know, things happen still. People live in fear, but, man, people are so – there's something as simple as a small phone gives a person comfort to know. When you see people pull out those, like, yeah, I know one thing. Yep, it's on video, though. You know, it's like, you know, little things like that we have the ability to
right.
do that they didn't do, that they could care less. You, that wasn't going to stop them from doing what
right,
they had
right.
to do. So, I don't know. Like I
yeah.
said, it's
yeah.
like the more, and the like I said, small pebbles, man, you build up enough of them. Will make
we
it
are
out,
resilient.
Man.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
we're resilient, but we're not as resilient as they were then. And then, too, like I said earlier in the show, you know, we don't stick together like they did then. We don't feel
mm-hmm.
the necessity to stick together now, you know, but
we've
the necessity is still there. Yeah,
that's something else
yeah.
we found appealing that they picked up from Euro-Americans. They taught they picked up that trait from them too. That all for self, because they don't stick together. You know what I mean? That's not something
yeah.
they do either. They cutthroat. I mean, when you look at corporate America, men and white people cutthroat like a mug. And
no,
and
they don't stick together, but they'll work. They'll work together,
right.
you know,
together.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
They will
work
together. They can hate each other, but they'll work together to get that dollar. And that's where
mm-hmm.
we don't do that. We'll get mad at each other. And we'll cut somebody off for no reason and hurt ourselves instead of, you know, swallowing your pride and
right.
completing the job. You know, but yeah, I got about 4 minutes. You want to say anything before I close?
Yeah, just same thing I always say. Eventually, hopefully, we'll get it together, people. You know, this thing bigger than us as individuals, we could be a lot further off. You know, this life of ours is more than expensive weave, shoes,
no
and big houses. You know, I think
right,
that's what we really
right.
doing on purpose. So.
No doubt. As always, I always appreciate you calling in. I always appreciate your input. I just appreciate you calling in because I appreciate the feminine perspective. And, you know, I appreciate you supporting me as well, sister. That means a lot to me. It means a whole lot to me.
All the time, brother.
All right. Okay, well, I'm going to wrap this thing up. I want to thank my brother Kevin Crosby for calling in and sharing some of his experiences and his knowledge and his wisdom as well on the subject of activism. Once again, here in closing, I just want to reiterate, you know, we've got to get involved, y'all. We need each other out here. It's more power in the people than there is people in power. I'm going to say that again so you'll get it. There is more power in the people than there is people who are in power. That marinate, because we all want change. We all want to live better than what we're living now. And there's only one thing that's standing in our way of achieving true freedom, and that's this oppressive system. And that is why I feel activism is important for all people to get involved in, because nobody has everything they want, and nobody will ever get everything that they want. But we can change conditions to have more of what we want as opposed to having less. And this system constantly gives the people less and less and less. So it's important that we start working together as a people to change the condition, because the problem is not the people. The problem are the people who are in power. So like I always say, it's time for us to plan, organize, unify, because we all have a key and we need each other. I appreciate everybody who tuned in this week. You just don't know. It means a lot to me. And also, I want to once again welcome the Activate Media, Activate Radio family to the big picture. And I'll be back next Monday, same time, same Panther Radio Network. I love y'all. This is why I do this. Peace. I'm out.
But don't scare Negroes today with no badge or no white skin or no white sheet or no white anything else. The police the same way. They put their club upside your head and then turn around and accuse you of attacking them. Every case of police brutality against a Negro follows the same pattern. They attack you, bust you all upside your mouth, and then take you to court and charge you with assault. What kind of democracy is that? What kind of freedom is that? What kind of social or political system is it when a black man has no voice in court, has no nothing on his side other than what the white man chooses to give him? My brothers and sisters, we have to put a stop to this. And it will never be stopped until we stop it ourselves. They attacked the victim. And then the criminal who attacked the victim accuses the victim of attacking him. This is American justice. This is American democracy. And those of you who are familiar with it know that in America, democracy is hypocrisy. Now, if I'm wrong, put me in jail. But if you can't prove that if democracy is not hypocrisy, then don't put your hands on me.